That's fine.
She's just dominating.
Yeah, let her join. Om. Om Sahana Vavatu Sahanau Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavati Tamastumavit Vishavahai Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. We'll chant chapter 1, verses 20 to 25. Atavyavasthitan drishtva Dhartarashtran ka bhedvajah Pravritte shastra sampate Dhanurudhyam ya pandavah Atavyavasthitan drishtva Dhartarashtran ka bhedvajah Pravritte shastra sampate Dhanurudhyam ya pandavah Rishikesham tadha vakyam Idamaha mahipate Arjuna uvacha Sena yorubhayor madhye Ratam stapaya mechutha Rishikesham tadha vakyam Idamaha mahipate Arjuna uvacha Sena yorubhayor madhye Ratam stapaya mechutha Yavadetanirikshayam Yodukamanavastitan Kairmaya sahayodavyam Asminranasamudhyame Yavadetanirikshayam Yodukamanavastitan Kairmaya sahayodavyam Asminranasamudhyame Yotsyamananavekshayam Ya etetra samagataha Dhartarashtrasya durbuddehe Yudde priyachikirshavah Yotsyamananavekshayam Ya etetra samagataha Dhartarashtrasya durbuddehe Yudde priyachikirshavah Sanjaya uvacha ಮುಕ್ತೋರಿಷಿಕೇಶ ಗುಡಾಕೇಶೇನ ಭಾರತ ಗುಡಾಕೇಶೇನ ಭಾರತ ಸೇನಯೋರುಭಯೋರ್ಮಧ್ಯೆ ಸೇನಯೋರುಭಯೋರ್ಮಧ್ಯೆ ಸ್ಥಾಪಯಿತ್ವಾ ರಥೋತ್ತಮಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಯಿತ್ವಾ ರಥೋತ್ತಮಂ ಸಂಜಯ ಉವಾಚ ಸಂಜಯ ಉವಾಚ ಏವ ಮುಕ್ತೋ ಋಷಿಕೇಶ ಏವ ಮುಕ್ತೋ ಋಷಿಕೇಶ ಗುಡಾಕೇಶೇಣ ಭಾರತ ಗುಡಾಕೇಶೇನ ಭಾರತ ಸೇನಯೋರುಭಯೋರ್ಮಧ್ಯೆ ಸೇನಯೋರುಭಯೋರ್ಮಧ್ಯೆ ಸ್ಥಾಪಯಿತ್ವಾ ರಥೋತ್ತಮಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಯಿತ್ವಾ ರಥೋತ್ತಮಂ ಭೀಷ್ಮದ್ರೋಣ ಪ್ರಮುಖತಃ ಭೀಷ್ಮದ್ರೋಣ ಪ್ರಮುಖತಃ ಸರ್ವೇಷಾಂ ಚ ಮಹೀಕ್ಷಿತಾಂ ಸರ್ವೇಷಾಂ ಚ ಮಹೀಕ್ಷಿತಾಂ ಉವಾಚ ಪಾರ್ಥ ಪಶ್ಯೈತಾನ್ ಉವಾಚ ಪಾರ್ಥ ಪಶ್ಯೈತಾನ್ ಸಮವೇತಾನ್ ಕುರುನಿತಿ ಸಮವೇತಾನ್ ಕುರುನಿತಿ ಭೀಷ್ಮದ್ರೋಣ ಪ್ರಮುಖತಃ ಭೀಷ್ಮದ್ರೋಣ ಪ್ರಮುಖತಃ ಸರ್ವೇಷಾಂ ಚ ಮಹೀಕ್ಷಿತಾಂ ಸರ್ವೇಷಾಂ ಚ ಮಹೀಕ್ಷಿತಾಂ ಉವಾಚ ಪಾರ್ಥ ಪಶ್ಯೈತಾನ್ ಉವಾಚ ಪಾರ್ಥ ಪಶ್ಯೈತಾನ್ ಸಮವೇತಾನ್ ಕುರುನಿತಿ ಸಮವೇತಾನ್ ಕುರುನಿತಿ
We had done up to verse 19 of this first chapter. The very first verse of the Gita begins with Dhritarashtra's curiosity, asking Sanjaya, his charioteer, to report to him about what is happening on the battlefield. And then Sanjaya speaks, saying that Duryodhana went up to Drona and spoke few words, introduced both the armies to Duryodhana, the Kaurava side and the Pandava side. And Duryodhana saw Kaurava army having 11 battalions compared to the Pandava army which had only 7 battalions. Still, in spite of it, he felt it was insufficient. In the sense, when there is lack of dharma, lack of values, lack of quality within and full of selfishness, then there is sense of insecurity in spite of having so much of quantity, which is what was expressed by Duryodhana. And then Bhishma blows the conch, declaring the war, expressing the readiness and inspiring the entire Kaurava army, let us get on to the fight. And the Kaurava army, in turn, everybody blows their conch and also express saying that we are all ready. And then on the Pandava side, firstly the reply comes from Krishna. It's interesting to see, note that Krishna is the one who first blows the conch from Pandava side, saying that we do not want to go into war, but if the war is thrust on us, we have no problem in accepting it. We are not cowards. We are not going to run away from the challenge that confronts us. So the message that Krishna is giving us here indirectly is that don't start a war, don't start an argument, but when you are put into such a situation, face it bravely. Only a person who accepts it will be able to face it. A person who resists will be mentally disturbed. He will not be qualified fully to face it. He will, even if he faces it, he will not come out victorious. So therefore, Lord Krishna is talking about indirectly acceptance. And after Krishna blew his conch, Arjuna blew his conch, Yudhishthira, Nakula, Sahadeva, and the entire Pandava army, everybody sounded their conch, saying that we are also ready. When on both sides everybody has blown their conches, here Sanjaya is saying in verse number 19, he says, that tumultuous sound rent the hearts of Dhritarashtra's host and made earth and sky reverberate. Everybody sounded the conch. But why should it instill fear in Dhritarashtra's host? In the sense, where there is selfishness, there is fear. Where there is no selfishness, no ego, there is no fear. Unless I have made some mistakes, unless there is that guilt in me, why would I have fear? So, therefore, Sanjaya is indirectly saying here that instilled fear in Dhritarashtra's host. We'll chant verse number 20, 21, 22.
Atavyavastitan drishtva Dhartarashtran kapidvajaha Pravritte shastra sampate Dhanurudyumya pandavaha Atavyavastitan drishtva Dhartarashtran kapidvajaha Pravritte shastra sampate Dhanurudyumya pandavaha Rishikesham tada vakyam Idamaha mahipate Arjuna uvacha Sena yorubhayor madhye Ratam stapaya mechuta Rishikesham tada vakyam Idamaha mahipate Arjuna uvacha Sena yorubhayor madhye Ratam stapaya mechuta Yavadetani rikshekham Yodukamanavastitan Kairmaya sahayodavyam Asminrana samudhyame Yavadetani rikshekham Yodukamanavastitan Kairmaya sahayodavyam Asminrana samudhyame
Then seeing Dhritarashtra's host standing arrayed, ready to operate the weapons, Pandava, with the monkey ensign, taking up his bow, said these words to Rishikesha, O Lord of Earth. Here, O Lord of Earth refers to Dhritarashtra. So Sanjaya is speaking to Dhritarashtra, says that after seeing Dhritarashtra's host standing there with readiness, Arjuna, the Pandava, raised his bow. Raising the bow in the battlefield could signify, I am not fully ready. In the sense, let's not immediately start, let's wait for a while. With the monkey ensign, the chariot had a flag with monkey ensign, which is nothing but Hanumanji seated there. Wherever there is Krishna, there is Hanumanji. Wherever there is Ram, there is Hanumanji. So here Hanumanji signifies a single pointed mind. Monkey is always equated with mind. They say mind is like a monkey. It's never in one place. It's Astira and Chanchala. So such a mind, when it is single pointed becomes powerful. That is how Hanumanji is said to be really powerful. Taking off his bow, Pandava said something to Rishikesha. Rishikesha here refers to Lord Krishna. I've mentioned this before. Rishikesha means Lord of senses. One who has control over senses. One who is the master of one's own senses. Senses, in Tamil, we call it as pori. Pori means, it's like that cage which is used to catch the rat. You know? So our senses could become a trap. It's like a rat trap. You know, it's like a trap for us. We are getting trapped by senses. Because we are not masters of our senses. Who is the master of sense or senses? Who is the master of senses? One who understands that anything that the sense can perceive, the color and form through the eyes, smell through the nose, sound through the ears, touch through the skin, and taste through the tongue, all these five sense perceptions are passing and fleeting, are changing in nature. And no change is possible to be recognized without a changeless substratum supporting it. So one who is sensible will see through the senses that these are passing phenomena. Behind it, there is a changeless phenomenon. Such a person is the Lord of senses. Others are all trapped by senses. Either one sense or all the five senses seem to trap us. We are all victimized by our own senses. We do not know how to be a master. Here Lord Krishna is referred to as Rishikesha, which means he is the master of senses. One who is constantly identified with the changeless substratum, never getting trapped and victimized by the sense perceptions. So, Pandava said something. What did he say? He said, Place my chariot between the two armies. Sena yoru bhayor madhye ratam sthapaya me Achyuta. O Achyuta, O Krishna. Achyuta is another fantastic name, which means one who had never fallen. One who had never fallen from the state of pure consciousness. One who had never fallen to this limited, restricted condition. One who never lost his awareness. One who is always awakened. Place my chariot between the two armies, O Achyuta, that I may see thee standing desirous to fight. With whom all I must fight in this outbreaking battle. Kair maya saha yodavyam. So, in these three verses, Arjuna is telling Krishna, Krishna is Arjuna's charioteer. So he is telling him, take my chariot and place it in between both the armies. I would like to see who all have come to fight in this outbreaking battle. Now, it's very interesting because a warmonger is somebody who is like totally blind person. He just closes his eyes. He doesn't want to see who all have come to fight. He just wants to fight. He is not bothered who is there. He is not going to take stock. He will just go and fight. It is another thing that such a person will lose. But a person who has given himself to war, who is craving to fight, who is a warmonger, he just closes his eyes and just plunges into war. He is not bothered about who all have come to fight. A person like Krishna, he can also enter into the war. He enters the war with full consciousness and objectivity and awareness. A person like Arjuna is in between. He is neither like Duryodhan nor like Krishna. He has not got his inner light switched on, nor is he totally closed like Duryodhana is. He is somewhere in between. In fact, most of us are somewhere in between. That is where the problem comes. We are not as closed as Duryodhana is. We do think. the doubts do come in our mind, right? Also, a person who enters the war without assessment cannot come out victorious. Every minute we are facing the challenges in this world, so there must be some basic assessment. But the problem with assessment is we could get involved or we could be objective. A person like Lord Krishna is objective. A person like Arjuna is involved. A person like Duryodhan is closed. These are the three categories. Many of us fall under the category of Arjuna. Some of us may fall under the category of Duryodhan, or the other way around. Maybe many of us are on the side of Duryodhan. Few are like Arjuna. But what we need to realize here is, seldom you find a person like Krishna who is objective. He is not a warmonger. He neither shies away from war. If you remember, I quoted earlier Shakespeare, wherein he says, beware of entrance to a quarrel. Beware of entrance to a quarrel. Being in beareth that the enemy beware of thee. You don't start the argument, but when you are dragged in, make sure that the enemy runs away from you. Not be able to stand. Fight it fully. So Arjuna is preparing himself to do SWOT analysis, as they call it in management terms. Strength, weakness, opportunity and threat. That is what the SWOT analysis is. He wants to see who all have come to fight on both sides, whom all he must meet in the battle and fight out. Because remember, this war is thrust on Arjuna. So he wanted to see who all are there, whom all he must fight in this outbreaking battle. But the problem is Arjuna qualified enough to be objective after seeing the people, or will he get involved? There is some clue that we get here in this verse that he is definitely going to get involved. Can you see what is the clue here in this verse? Let us see if you are able to note it. Read the verses carefully. I'll read it for you once again. Then seeing Dhritarashtra's host standing arrayed, ready to operate the weapons, Pandava with the monkey ensign taking up his bow said these words to Rishikesha, O Lord of Earth, place my chariot between the two armies, O Achyuta, that I may see these standing desirous to fight, with whom all I must fight in this outbreaking battle.
I must fight
my chariot. The ego is showing forth here. Anybody who has given to this ego, me comes always with mine. In fact, mine is only the extension of me. No sooner the child is born, the mother is also born. Child becomes mine. No sooner you become the husband, then wife becomes mine. No sooner you become the wife, husband becomes mine. Similarly, vice versa. So mine, so immediately you can clearly see this ego in Arjuna is going to make sure that he is only going to see his relatives on the battlefield. Because the mind will come back to haunt him. When you do SWOT analysis, you need to do it objectively, not with keeping the me alive there. So here you can clearly see that Arjuna is also given to ego. That is what clearly proves that he is not somebody who is given to ahimsa. Because a lot of us misunderstand that Arjuna will eventually want to run away from the battle thinking that killing is bad. So he is given into non-violence. Whereas Krishna is going to force him into violence. A lot of us misunderstand, those who know the story. Because now on, Arjuna is going to get succumbed to his emotions. And then he would put forth his argument to back off, to run away. And Krishna will make him get back to war. So there is a general misunderstanding everywhere, because of which they criticized Krishna, saying that Arjuna was non-violent, Krishna forced him into violence. Krishna will never force anybody who is non-violent into violence. Arjuna is a confused lot. He at the base has ego. No egoistic person can be non-violent. He may talk non-violence, but deep inside there is violence. If it was not for his relatives, he would have just killed them. You understand? So that me, the extension of me is mine. So all that is going to stop him. It's going to make him weak. That is what is going to happen. So in this verse, I want you to note this my. My ratham. My chariot. Place my chariot in between both the armies. Senayor bhayor madhye ratham sthapayame achyuta. O Achyuta, take the chariot and place it in between both the armies. I would like to see with whom all I must fight in this outbreaking battle. So this fundamental problem in life is this ego, egoistic attitude, egocentric desires. So Arjuna is not free from it. We can clearly see this. So when he has said this, Krishna must have thought, this guy is only externally ready. He is not internally ready. Because he knows where there is ego. With ego, if he was close like Duryodhan, then he can fight. Bhima is also closed. If you remember, Duryodhan, I pointed it out to you, I think in verse number 10 or 11, he speaks this. He says, yes, in 10 he says, this army of ours protected by Bhishma is unlimited. Whereas their army, that army of theirs protected by Bhima is unlimited. He only talks about Bhima. He is not talking about Arjun. Why? I told you, because Bhima is also closed. He will also keeping his eyes closed, get into war. Arjuna is not like that. He is a thinking type. He is not gone beyond thoughts. Krishna is somebody who had gone beyond thoughts. Neither Duryodhana nor Arjuna had gone beyond thoughts. But the problem with Arjuna is, he is a confused person. Duryodhana is a closed person. Both of them have ego. Arjuna also has ego. Duryodhana also has ego. But Duryodhana is closed. Arjuna is confused. He is neither like Krishna nor like Duryodhana. So knowing this, Krishna must have felt before the war begins, it's a sign that I get from Arjuna that he cannot win this battle if he continues like this. He must have assisted. Having said this, Arjuna continues. We'll chant verse number 23.
Yotsya manana veksheham, yotsya manana veksheham, yayetetra samagataha, yayetetra samagataha, dartarashtrasya durbuddehe, dartarashtrasya durbuddehe, yudde priyachikirshavaha, yudde priyachikirshavaha, yotsya manana veksheham, yotsya manana veksheham, yayetetra samagataha, yayetetra samagataha, dartarashtrasya durbuddehe, dartarashtrasya durbuddehe, yudde priyachikirshavaha, yudde priyachikirshavaha. I observe those who are assembled here to fight, wishing to please in battle the evil-minded son of Dhritarashtra. Arjuna is telling, I am able to see from the place where I am now, few people who all have come to fight here wishing to please the evil-minded son of Duryodhana. When Arjuna speaks here, mentioning Duryodhana as evil-minded son of Dhritarashtra, you can clearly see his mind is filled with Shatru Bhav, enemy Bhav, right? His mind is filled with enmity. Now it's very interesting to note here that not only the mind encompasses friends and relatives, the mind also encompasses enemies. Do you understand that? There's a deep psychology here. You in fact think of your enemies more than your friends. You in fact think of your enemies 24/7, 365 days. Your mind, wherever, whatever it resists, please remember this law, what you resist will persist. What you resist will persist. So here, Arjuna is filled with the Shatru Bhav, which is also an extension of the me. Mind encompasses the enemies also, my enemies. When you acquire something, supposing you acquire a huge empire, you want your relatives around you who look at you and say, oh, what a great achievement. And you want your enemies around you who will be jealous of you. If nobody is there, your achievement will be nothing for you. It's a very interesting psychology. Your achievement will be nothing for you. So, we not only have relationship with our relatives, we in fact have more relationship with our enemies. So here Arjuna is clearly filled with Shatru Bhav. Slowly in the coming few verses you will note, he will be filled with Mitru Bhav, friendship. All that Krishna wants Arjuna to have, or for that matter anybody to have in life, is Sakshi Bhav. Please remember these three: Shatru Bhav, Mitru Bhav, Sakshi Bhav. Neither do you look at anybody as an enemy, nor do you look at anybody as your friend. You stand in between and deliver. Follow the middle path. Sena Yoru Bhayor Madhye. Between the two armies. You got to stand in between good and bad. Don't take the sides of anybody. Be objective. What is expected of you to do in the context, you do it and push off yourself from the situation. Don't linger. Don't have to take sides. But the problem is, people like Arjuna will always be taking sides and going through confusions. Now Sanjaya continues. Sanjaya uvacha, eva mukto rishi keshaha, Gudakeshena Bharata, Sena Yorubhayor Madhye, Stapayitvaratotamam, Sanjaya Uvacha, Eva Mukto Rishi Keshaha, Gudakeshena Bharata, Sena Yorubhayor Madhye, Stapayitvaratotamam, Bhishma Drona Pramukataha, Sarvesham Cha Mahikshitam, Uvacha Partha Pashyaitam,
ఉవాచ పార్థ పశ్యైతాన్ సమవేతాన్ కురునితి సమవేతాన్ కురునితి భీష్మద్రోణ ప్రముఖతః సర్వేషాం చ మహీక్షితాం సర్వేషాం చ మహీక్షితాం ఉవాచ పార్థ పశ్యైతాన్ సమవేతాన్ కురునితి సమవేతాన్ కురునితి.
సంజయ కంటిన్యూస్, హి సేస్, దస్ అడ్రస్డ్ బై గుడాకేశ, గుడాకేశ గుడాక ఈశ విచ్ మీన్స్ లార్డ్ ఆఫ్ స్లీప్. హియర్ గుడాకేశ రెఫర్స్ టు అర్జున, లార్డ్ ఆఫ్ స్లీప్. లార్డ్ ఆఫ్ స్లీప్ మీన్స్ వన్ హూ ఇస్ అలర్ట్, వన్ హూ ఇస్ డైనమిక్ అండ్ అలర్ట్.
దస్ స్పోకన్ బై గుడాకేశ అర్జున, రిషికేశ కృష్ణ, ఓ భారత, ఓ ధృతరాష్ట్ర, కృష్ణ హావింగ్ డ్రాన్ అప్ ద బెస్ట్ ఆఫ్ చారియట్స్ బిట్వీన్ ద టూ ఆర్మీస్. అగైన్ సంజయ సేస్ బెస్ట్ ఆఫ్ చారియట్స్. ఎర్లియర్ ఆల్సో ఈ సెడ్ మెగ్నిఫిసెంట్ చారియట్, నౌ ఆల్సో ఈ సేస్ బెస్ట్ ఆఫ్ చారియట్స్. వై డస్ హీ కాల్ ఇట్ బెస్ట్ ఆఫ్ చారియట్స్? బికాస్ ఇట్ హస్ కృష్ణ. Because it has Krishna, why does it become best of chariots? The significance of chariot we spoke about last week, if you remember. The chariot represents the body. Arjuna represents the individual. Horses represent the senses. The reins represent the mind. Krishna represents the intellect. When the intellect controls the mind and mind in turn controls the senses, then the individual is able to travel the journey of life peacefully, safely, and reach the destination. If not, he will collapse. The journey will be filled with thorns. There will be lots and lots of struggle, stress and strain. So when he says beautiful chariot, magnificent chariot, because intellect is controlling it. Krishna, an awakened soul, awakened person, who is always alert, whose intellect, buddhi, is always discriminating towards what is real and what is unreal, and directing the individual towards the path. That is the magnificence. Otherwise, what is the big deal? In front of Bhishma and Drona, and all the rulers of the earth said, O Partha, behold these Kurus gathered together. In other words, Krishna drew the chariot, took it and placed it in between both the armies, but right in front of Bhishma and Drona. The only sentence he spoke in the entire first chapter is this. What is that? Lord Krishna says, O Partha. Partha means son of Kunti. Partha also carries a flavor of the term Parthiva, which means clay made, earth made. O Arjuna, behold these Kurus gathered together. He just said, objectively see the Kurus gathered together. Lord Krishna is asking Arjuna to have Sakshi Bhava. Sakshi means witness, objective. Yeah, where the mind is there. He had already spoken about my chariot. So yes, that means so much of mind. And Bhishma and Drona is part of that mind. So when a person suffering from me sees things that are mine, will certainly get involved and will not be able to continue further. So Krishna wants to test him where it hurts him. Once he resolves that issue, then it's fine. Because supposing he doesn't see those people and just sees Duryodhana and all these people and just gets on to war,
And suddenly, after seeing Bhishma, Drona, he'll get confused in between. It is better that he gets confused and sort it out before he gets into the war. So he takes the chariot in between the two armies, but strategically right in front of Bhishma and Drona, and said these words, "O Partha, behold these Kurus gathered together. You were saying before, I would like to see who all have come to fight, with full of desire to fight. Do you think Bhishma and Drona have come to the battlefield with desire to fight? They have not come to the battlefield with desire to fight. They have come to the battlefield just to do what they ought to do. Not everybody who has come and seemingly found themselves on the side of Kauravas were all there to please Duryodhana. Not everybody who is found on the Kaurava side have come with a desire to fight. They have just come to do what they ought to do." So all that Krishna is saying is, take them as an example. Be an instrument in the hands of totality and just do what you ought to do. All these things he is not saying, but indirectly teaching. The best form of education is indirect education, not direct. And especially to a person like Arjuna, in this context here, he is still not opened up. He still not said, "I am thy disciple." He will say it later on in the second chapter. He is not asked for any suggestions from Krishna as of now. So Krishna simply indirectly starts the Gita. You can say, indirectly Gita has been started now. Directly it will be started in the 11th verse of chapter 2. But indirectly he is saying, "O Partha, behold these Kurus gathered together. You seem to be carrying Shatru Bhava, and I know from knowledge and experience that Shatru Bhava can too soon turn into Mitru Bhava. Therefore have Sakshi Bhava." Sakshi Bhava. Stand in the middle and deliver. We'll chant verse number 26 and the first line of 27. Tatra pashyastithan partha. Tatra pashyastithan partha Petru nata pita mahan Petru nata pita mahan Acharyan matulan bhratran Acharyan matulan bhratran Putran pautran sakim stata Putran pautran sakim stata Tatra pashyastithan partha Tatra pashyastithan partha Petru nata pita mahan, Petru nata pita mahan, Acharyan matulan bhratrun, Acharyan matulan bhratrun, Putran pautran sakim stata, Putran pautran sakim stata, Swashuran suhrudas chaiva, Swashuran suhrudas chaiva, Sena yoruba yorapi, Sena yoruba yorapi, Swashuran suhrudas chaiva, Swashuran suhrudas chaiva, Sena yoruba yorapi, Sena yoruba yorapi. There Partha saw standing fathers, grandfathers, teachers, maternal uncles, brothers, sons, grandsons and comrades, fathers-in-law and friends also in both the armies. See, usually when there is a war, everybody who is standing on the opposite side would be your enemy. Everybody who has come to fight on your side would be your friends. Now it's a very peculiar situation, wherein on the Kaurava side, Kauravas are none other than his own cousins. So on the enemy camp, there are a lot of relatives. The mine is spread in the enemy camp also. The mine is not only on this side, the mind is spread on the enemy camp. Like I said, enemies are also included in the mind. Here it's not only psychologically, but in the practical sense also. Kaurava's army is also filled with his own relatives. Not only relatives, some people whom he keeps in high esteem. Some of them are righteous from a relative point of view. So, here Arjuna clearly expresses his Mitru Bhav. So, there Parthas are standing, fathers, grandfathers, teachers, maternal uncles, brothers, sons, grandsons, comrades, fathers-in-law and friends also in both armies. The entire Kuru clan, the Pandavas, everybody, not even one person is missed. Everybody is assembled there. And Arjuna started seeing them from a personal point of view, not from an objective point of view. When you go to the office, even if it's a family run business, and father, let us say, happens to be the CEO, and the son happens to be the general manager, let us say, once you are in the office, it's no more father and son. Thereafter it is CEO and general manager. You need to have objectivity. But here Arjuna mixes it up. That's why I said, when you do, no doubt, when you get into a war, when you face any challenge, you need basic assessment. Without assessment, if you plunge, you will be able to plunge, but you will lose the battle. You need to have assessment. But when you do assessment, you should have objectivity. Arjuna is only doing assessment, but he loses his objectivity. Hence, he looked at them as his own relatives. Now, having looked at them as their relatives, slowly the downfall will start, slowly the emotions taking over, the intellect will happen, then slowly that will start disturbing his physical body, that will start disturbing his thinking, slowly his collapse will happen. When you allow yourself to have a subjective view, vis-a-vis an objective view, then you are allowing your emotions to overpower your thinking, your intellect. Once your intellect loses its capacity to think, you get shrouded by the delusion and your body loses slowly the capacity to fight, capacity to act. So, this is what is going to happen to Arjuna now. We'll chant verse number 27, 28 and 29. Also 30. The second line of verse 27 until verse 30. Tansa mikshya sa kaunteya, tansa mikshya sa kaunteya, sarvan bandhuna vastithan, sarvan bandhuna vastithan, tansa mikshya sa kaunteya, tansa mikshya sa kaunteya, sarvan bandhuna vastithan, sarvan bandhuna vastithan, kripaya paraya vishtaha, kripaya paraya vishtaha, vishidannidam abravet, vishidannidam abravet. Arjuna uvacha, Arjuna uvacha, drishtve vamsvajanam krishna, drishtve vamsvajanam krishna, yuyutsum samupasthitam, yuyutsum samupasthitam, kripaya paraya vishtaha, kripaya paraya vishtaha, vishidannidam abravet, vishidannidam abravet. Arjuna uvacha, Arjuna uvacha, drishtve vamsvajanam krishna, drishtve vamsvajanam krishna, yuyutsum samupasthitam, yuyutsum samupasthitam, sidanti mama gatrani, sidanti mama gatrani, mukam cha parishushyati, mukam cha parishushyati, vepatuscha sharire me, vepatuscha sharire me, roma harshascha jhayate, roma harshascha jhayate, sidanti mama gatrani,
సీదంతి మమ గాత్రాణి ముఖం చ పరిశుష్యతి ముఖం చ పరిశుష్యతి వేపతుశ్చ శరీరే మే వేపతుశ్చ శరీరే మే రోమహర్షశ్చ జాయతే రోమహర్షశ్చ జాయతే గాండీవం సంస్రతే హస్తాత్ గాండీవం సంస్రతే హస్తాత్ త్వక్చైవ పరిదహ్యతే త్వక్చైవ పరిదహ్యతే నచ శక్నోమ్యవస్థాతుం నచ శక్నోమ్యవస్థాతుం భ్రమతీవ చ మే మనః భ్రమతీవ చ మే మనః గాండీవం సంస్రతే హస్తాత్ గాండీవం సంస్రతే హస్తాత్ త్వక్చైవ పరిదహ్యతే త్వక్చైవ పరిదహ్యతే నచ శక్నోమ్యవస్థాతుం నచ శక్నోమ్యవస్థాతుం భ్రమతీవ చ మే మనః భ్రమతీవ చ మే మనః. He, the son of Kunti, seeing all these kinsmen thus standing, filled with deep pity, uttered this in sorrow. Here Sanjaya is speaking, remember that third person is speaking, Arjuna is not speaking. Arjuna uttered whatever he had uttered, whatever he has to utter to Krishna. But this verse is given in third person, Sanjaya is speaking, which means a person who has got the subjective view and got involved, he doesn't even know that he is involved. Remember, a mad person doesn't know that he is mad. To the extent we are mad, we do not know that we are mad. A person, when he is angry, he doesn't know that he is angry. No. Let us say the father is a short-tempered person and his blood pressure is very high and all that. So doctor has cautioned the family members, you have to somehow pacify him when he gets angry. Make sure that he doesn't get angry. Even if he does, pacify him. So at times when the father gets angry and shouts, hey, oh, he keeps on shouting, the wife is saying, the mother is saying, the son is saying, Papa, don't get angry, don't get angry. Father retaliates by saying, who is getting angry? He is not even aware that he is angry. So to the extent we are involved, to that extent we don't even know that we are involved. So it's very significant that a third person is speaking here by saying, he the son of Kunti. There, Arjuna was not standing as a warrior, but he was standing there as a son of Kunti. It shows that Arjuna was involved. Seeing all these kinsmen thus standing, filled with deep pity, uttered this in sorrow. Here the word kripa should not be translated as compassion. It is pity. What is the difference between pity and compassion?
Pity is when you feel bad for the person, and compassion is when you feel
the... Pity has an element of ego. It is a surface emotion. It is brought about by a situation. Compassion has no element of ego. It is filled with awareness and knowledge. It is not brought about by circumstance. It is not a circumstantial feeling. If you are compassionate, you will always be compassionate. If a circumstance brings about compassion in you, then that is pity. In fact, because of our lack of compassion, we amass more than what we deserve. We become gluttons. We become so greedy and go on amassing as much as we can. And due to this quality of ours, we create so many poor people in the world. Right? And then when a person with torn clothes come in front of us, we feel sorry and give him few paisa, few rupees. When in a situation you feel sad,
When in a situation you have that sort of a feeling, it is not compassion. It can never be circumstantial. Compassion is like a fragrance. When a person matures, it will be there with him always. He will never take more than what he deserves, more than what he has paid for. Like Oliver Goldsmith says, nakedness of this world can be clad with the trimmings of the vain. It's a beautiful quotation. He says, nakedness of this world can be clad with the trimmings of the vain. There's so much of hoarding on one side. So there are so many people denied because of that. And then from hoarding, when somebody has come in front of you in a pitiable condition, you take pity and give a little bit. In the very first place, you were the one who were the cause of them being poor. It is lack of love, basically. And then you behave as if you are responsible and you have to take care of them, etc. So here in the context, though the word kripa is used, it should not be understood as compassion. It is nothing but deep pity. Pity is a weakness. It is not strength. A doctor has compassion towards the patient, not pity. So, only a strong person can have compassion. A weak person will always have pity. Arjuna, having expressed his ego earlier by saying, "My chariot," obviously cannot be filled with compassion. If it was not his relatives who are standing on the other side, he would have certainly started the war. So, Arjuna, filled with deep pity, uttered this in sorrow, in the sense he was overpowered by sorrow. Vedanta is never against the feeling of sorrow. Vedanta is not saying you should not have the feeling of sorrow, but allowing the feeling of sorrow or sadness to affect you, to get involved in it, because of which you are not able to think, not able to decide, you are not able to do what you ought to do. That is what Vedanta is against. A lot of people accuse Vedanta of bringing callousness. Vedanta can never make you callous. If you are callous, in spite of studying Vedanta, it is because of you misunderstanding Vedanta. A Vedantin will have feelings, but he will never be victimized by his feelings. He will never come under the sway of his emotions or feelings. A piece of wood doesn't have emotions. Animals have emotions, but they are victimized by their emotions. Human beings ought to have emotions and ought not to be victimized by emotions. So here, when Sanjaya says, he uttered few words to Krishna, filled with deep pity and sorrow, means he had allowed his emotions to overpower his thinking. He is slowly possessed by his own emotions. He has turned emotional. And then he continued by saying, Arjuna speaks to Krishna, "Seeing these, O Krishna, one's own kinsmen arrayed, desirous to fight, my limbs fail, and my mouth is parched, my body trembles, and my hair stands on end. Gandiva slips from my hand, my skin burns all over, my mind whirls as it were, and I am not able to stand." You know, the modern psychology will clearly tell us that these are all nothing but the symptoms of stress. These are all symptoms of anxiety state neurosis, a mental stress. A clear case of Arjuna being stressed. Now, this is why we keep on repeating this in our classes, that just gathering external skill, external information and experience alone is not enough in life. Arjuna was a great warrior. He was number one in the field of archery. He was extremely skillful. He had war experiences before. It was not that he never experienced war. He had won many battles actually. So he was an interesting combination of intelligence and experience. Right? Even though he had intelligence and experience, he was extremely ill prepared as far as his inside is concerned. Ill prepared. Who is ill prepared? We are all preparing ourselves externally. When any problem comes, we have enough money in the fixed deposits, in the other schemes. Externally we are prepared. But what about the mental preparation? Arjuna is like any one of us. Or rather, we are like Arjuna. So Swami Chinmayanandaji says, this Arjuna disease is prevalent everywhere. Inside is never prepared. We are only preparing ourselves externally. We send our children to the best of universities, thinking that skill and experience will suffice. That alone will not suffice. When the right problem confronts you, when I say right problem means a problem which is more powerful than your inner preparation. In spite of all your intelligence, in spite of all your degrees, in spite of all your experiences, you will succumb. Remember this. Just gathering information, you will only gather dust. You need to ready yourself inside. Arjuna also blew the conch. So what does it mean? It only means that he was ready from outside, not ready from inside. He remains as hollow as ever from inside. A person who shows as if he is so objective and he wants to do the SWOT analysis and all the assessments and everything he did, but slowly got succumbed, and now he says the mental disturbance has come to the level of physical obstruction. He is not able to physically function. He says, he, the son of Kunti, seeing all these kinsmen thus standing, filled with deep pity, uttered this in sorrow, seeing these relatives, O Krishna, one's own kinsmen, arrayed, desirous to fight, my limbs fail and my mouth is parched. A person like Arjuna is saying, I'm not able to stand. Not because the outside heat is intolerable. The heat, the temperature is increased inside. Even in an AC room, when a person is stressed, he will be sweating. There is fear. My body trembles. It's not some ordinary person speaking here. My body trembles is being spoken by Arjuna, a great warrior. He's saying, my body is trembling. My hair stands on end. I'm having horripilation. Gandiva, the famous bow of Arjuna, he says slips. Gandiva slips means what?
He's sweating.
The fear has manifested at the physical level. My Gandiva is slipping from my hand. My skin burns all over. The skin irritation could also be because of stress. So he's saying, my skin burns all over, my mind whirls as it were. My head is spinning, he's saying. Brahmati iva cha me manaha. My mind whirls as it were, and I am not able to stand. When the emotions overpower the intellect, you will not be able to think. When you turn emotional, you cannot think. When you cannot think, you cannot act. And without action, you cannot live. Action is the insignia of life. Inaction is death. One cannot remain alive without action, which Krishna himself says in the third chapter. Nahi kaschit shanamapi jatu tishtatya karmakrit karyate yavashak karma sarva prakriti jayadunai. There's a saying in English, if you rest, you will rust. If you rest, you will rust. Inaction will lead you to death. You cannot be only eating all the time. Whatever you ate, you need to digest. So little bit of action needs to be done. Otherwise you cannot survive. So action one must do, not because others are in waiting for your action. Action one must do for one's own survival. Bhagavad Gita is a scripture that talks about the importance of action, and yet it is misunderstood as if it will take you away from action. Bhagavad Gita you want to study at a very, very young age. Why? What happened? Everything all right with you? Did you fail in any subject? Why? Any depression? Take a vacation. Go to Ananda and have some good time and come back. Don't have to study Bhagavad Gita now. You are only 20, 25, 30. This is to be studied after 60. How can you study how to act when you are about to die? It's not a post-retirement course. It is something that ought to be learned before you plunge into action. Before a challenge confronts you. You know, when Swami Chinmayanandaji speaks on Bhajagovindam, he says, he's talking from the husband's point of view and says, the husband must be kicking the wife mentally before the wife kicks him. In the sense, what he's saying is, see, this Bhajagovindam says, when you are dead and gone, nobody is going to keep your dead body there. It immediately becomes dead body. And they just want to cremate it or bury it, whatever. Just dispose it. As long as life is there, there is respect. As long as you have the capacity to earn, everybody will say, how are you? As long as you are in, you know, there was election in 5 states. Some of them lost. No police officer is saluting them now. Everybody is saluting a new fellow. You understand? That's how life is. So before the eventuality comes, you be prepared. Like the motto of scouts, which is to be prepared. One has to be all the time ready. The only thing that is certain in life is uncertainty. So the only thing that is expected of me is to be always prepared. Whatever it might be. I may be surrounded by people who flatter me today. Tomorrow the things can change. So whatever comes, it's going to come. I can do very little about it. So all I can do is, I can be prepared. Arjuna was not ready. So this Bhagavad Gita is meant to prepare the inside, to make you strong from inside. When you throw the egg, The raw egg is what? Loose and semi-solid, semi-liquid rather. You throw that in boiling water, what happens? Becomes hard. You throw a potato which is solid in the same boiling water, it becomes soft. Boiling water being the same, egg reacts differently, potato reacts differently. So when a situation confronts us, when the problem comes, then the real personality is exposed. I may be laughing and smiling when the sensex is going up. When the sensex goes down, he who is able to laugh and smile, even when the sensex goes down, that person is the real human being. So Bhagavad Gita will make sure that you will develop this inner resilience, this inner capacity to face any situation smilingly, cheerfully. So in other words, whatever may be the situation thrown at you, you are relaxed. Your inner relaxation, your inner happiness is not dependent on the external situation. So such a message which is spoken in the Gita should be learned before one starts plunging into life. So along with your school education, along with your college education, one must also study the Gita. And I say Gita, I mean any scripture. All these scriptures, whatever religion it might be belonging to, all these scriptures are only meant to prepare the inside. A person whose inside is not prepared, he is not a fully grown person. He might have become adult, but he is not a matured individual yet. He has not reached the maturity. He will at some point in life succumb to the situation and get swayed by the situation, like how Arjuna got swayed. Such a great warrior, so many battles he has won. He was also called as Dhananjaya. He won many battles and brought wealth to his country. He challenged so many people. The name of Arjuna used to instill fear in the opponents. Such was his greatness. Such a person saying, I am not even able to stand, not able to hold my Gandiva, succumbing to situation is a laughable condition. One mustn't throw oneself into a laughable condition. We'll meet next week. Om Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.